Hey, it's Big Joe for Absolute Comfort, your trusted independent American Standard Air dealer. And owner Chris Wedekin sells the Mitsubishi Electric Mini Split, a great option for heating and cooling where ductwork can't be installed.
If you have one of those homes that has baseboard heat or electric heat, ceiling cable heat, these can be specifically designed for those houses, because in those houses, it's very difficult having to do all the construction and remodeling that goes with adding ductwork into those types of homes.
Find out more by going to AbsoluteComfort.org. Absolute Comfort is your trusted independent American Standard Air Mitsubishi Electric Elite Ductless Pro dealer.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there with a special guest on the WIBC hotline.
Dr. Laura Wilson is a professor of political science at the University of Indianapolis. She joins us. Doctor, you have been the moderator for a couple different debates. What did you think of the job done by CBS 4 last night, the moderators with that gubernatorial debate?
Well, you know, I have to say I'm a little biased because I've worked with them, and I do know them on a personal level, but I thought they did a great job. It is always hard to moderate, and I've never moderated a debate where we had more than three candidates, and anytime you add one more candidate, right, it's one more a variable in the dynamic. It's one more person you have to add in terms of rebuttals and things like that. I thought they were very effective at going through a large range of issues. Some of them felt a little odd. I know there were some that probably people were wondering why they talked about, but capturing a large range of issues in 60 minutes to give you a good sense of at least 2/3 of the field for the Republican primary, since, of course, Rettenauer and Hill didn't qualify and weren't able to be on the stage.
And our pals at Wish TV, they get their opportunity tonight. They've got their turn for a debate. So I'm going to look at it a different way. You are somebody that's moderated debates. I'm somebody that has put together events. I wasn't happy with the way that it was structured last night. I get you want to get as many topics in an hour. I understand that. But some topics I think are more important than others. Like talking about the time zone should not have the same time limit as talking about taxes in Indiana. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense, and I laugh when you say that, because I think most people probably share your opinion. And the counter argument I thought was interesting about that particular question, right? It's not innately political. We knew if you had a bingo card, you knew IDEC was going to come up. You knew you were going to hear questions about gasoline tax. You probably suspected something with abortion, maybe with IVF and Alabama state Supreme Court decision would come up too, right? The thing I liked about that question was that I do think it's something people periodically complain about, right? Every time we set our clocks forward or backward.
Yeah.
And it's not your average person who doesn't even pay attention to politics. They probably have an opinion about daylight savings time. Otherwise, I would say where it was, put in the debate, being at 7:32, I think is when it came up, so it's nearly halfway through. Is your average person who's not paying attention to politics paying attention at that point? Maybe not. But I will say organizing and figuring out like what are the priorities is always going to be challenging, because most people don't watch all the debate. So you may just capture their attention until this didn't have commercial breaks, which helps. But, like the first few questions and someone's like, oh, I'm kind of bored. Let's go look at something else. I think it's not just the order, of course. It's like, what do you include? And inevitably, you can't include it all. You get 60 minutes. You have 1 hour. What they choose to add and to take out, I think, is really difficult.
Dr. Laura, is it important for a debate and or candidate to be somewhat entertaining? And maybe entertaining is the wrong word, but like, Vivek Ramaswamy was a very dynamic, great orator. And I'm not sure that I saw a lot of that on stage. How important is that aspect of being
charismatic?
Charismatic, very good word. Charismatic, yeah.
I think it's incredibly important, but there is a slight caveat to it. So to the argument that it's important, people naturally like watching people that are charismatic, even if you quite frankly disagree on several issues.
Sure.
You still can't take your eyes off, or you're like, wow, they're just so articulate. They're speaking to me. They're very personable. And I think in that regard, it can really help a candidate, especially with voters who maybe don't care as much about the policies. They may not know about the policies. There's that old adage in campaigning, right? Somebody you want to have a beer with. And there is a lot of value to that alone. The thing in this particular race, if you're looking, this is a crowded primary. You have six candidates. I don't know that any of them are necessarily overwhelmingly charismatic. In fact, many of them might be characterized as bland, and that's not a judgment call. It's just,
sure, no
one's
I agree.
Super outgoing, right? The benefit, is that no one's super outgoing, right? You're not competing. And if one of them was very charismatic, the other five would look very dour. But at least you're on an equal playing field. If anything, for voters, that means you do have to pay attention. You have to make a judgment call, not just based on who you want to have a beer with, because you may not know, but you know, who really aligns with what you're interested in? Who has a vision that you agree with? Like, who do you think has the most experience or expertise or the value that you want to see added into that office? And so in a way, for this particular race, I feel like you're taking it out as a variable because it's the same across the board.
Right.
And in that regard, I don't know that it matters as much as it would in most other circumstances.
So, Doctor, we play a game on our show sometime called Am I a Horrible Person? Where listeners basically judge the bejesus out of me. Am I a horrible person? Because when I hear somebody say, he looks like someone I would want to have a beer with, I mock that person. I laugh at that person because you're never going to have a beer with the president or the governor or the senator. Like, less than 1% will have a beer with those people.
And plus, basing your opinion purely on that, and not policy also doesn't really make sense to me.
I think you are a realistic person. Like, if that was the game, yes. I don't think it's horrible at all. And I think the trick is that charisma matters in the absence of policy. And that is exactly the problem is, well, if you don't know anything else, who's the person that resonates? I love charismatic people. I'm drawn to people with interesting backstories, right? Like, I think that's human nature. We all are to different degrees. But if I know someone, I know what they stand for, I know what they do, and I don't like it, there's no amount of sparkle, as I like to say, right? There's nothing in terms of how they speak to me or the stories they can tell, the narratives they provide. Like, they would be fun to get drunk with, maybe, but it's not going to be the person I vote for. It's an absence of policy where that matters. And in some ways, it's like you could get into the, is this dangerous for democracy because people are making decisions about beer drinking and not actual voting on policy? And then in that case, again, I'd say that is a concern.
And a little reminder, coming up in our show, it is Beer Sample Wednesday this week. Dr. Laura yes. Wilson, professor of political science, joining us. Were you surprised at all that some of the folks that are not polling at the top, right? Crouch, Doden, those two specifically, every poll that I've seen has got Braun at the top, Chambers close. Those two did not go after any of the front runners last night. If they did, it was very minimal. I did not see any fire. They didn't go after the people that are polling better than them. Was that a surprise to you?
It was a surprise. I think there were a couple missed opportunities, in particular Braun missing a big vote. None of the other candidates went against him. There was a moment where Doden and Crouch kind of sparred, but they were also towards the bottom of polling, so you know, you wonder how effective that necessarily is. I think for me, it's always this paradox of, like, for the entertainment value, I like to see the arguments. And it's not just because it is entertaining, right? But it's getting at the heart of the issue. It's like, no, you know, in your ad, you say this, but in fact, you did that. And look, this candidate's claiming this right now, but we know X, Y, Z. Like, it's actually holding them accountable. And I think that is really important. There's an aspect of that that I think is valuable in campaigns. And when you're looking at a debate, if you don't have that, you're missing out. At the same time, I would say I appreciate, and maybe it's just, you know, Hoosier hospitality. Maybe it's because they're Indiana candidates and maybe they're just all nice enough people. But it didn't get to that border of, like, being so uncivil or disrespectful in any way. I think it was a very civil and respectful debate that people start to say, oh, politics, it's so dirty. Oh, all the politicians are so bad. And I hear that all the time from people. If you looked at that debate this evening or yesterday evening, and if you look at the one tonight, what I think will be predictably the same, these candidates have a level of respect for each other, right? There is civility in politics, and I think this proves it, and each individual candidate has that as part of their character. Now, I would hope to see a little bit more challenge to their opponents, right? Like calling them out on things, because that's what you're able to do, and that's the opportunity you get to do on the debate stage. But on the flip side, and we have seen, I know you all have seen them, right? The presidential debates where you're laughing, you're crying, you're cringing, and then you're like, wait a second, these are going to be the next, one of these guys is the next leader of our country. Like, I didn't get that feeling watching this debate.
And finally, with the debates, Doctor, not so much the debates, but I mean, let's be honest with everybody. It's money, right? It's money that's going to get
Absolutely.
Someone to the top of the heap of this race. It's how much money you spend, and Braun is that guy, it seems like, so far.
Yeah, he absolutely is. Money matters and name recognition matters, and they're mutually reinforcing, right? So Braun has served in the Senate for 6 years. He obviously has a lot of money of his own, but I think he has that name recognition and power that donors recognize. And Chambers has that, and Crouch has that to a lesser degree, too. I think you also see at this point, since we're at the end of March, there is that aspect of critical mass. Like, people want to support a winner. And so right now they're gauging their bets, like, who's most likely to get this seat? And that's the person you want to support. And you start to see that happening, especially as we're getting close to early voting and we're almost a month away from the election. Money absolutely matters. It's not the end all be all. You could be the best funded candidate and lose, but it's a little bit harder in that case.
Doctor, as a product of the University of Alabama, how does it feel knowing that without Nick Saban, you're going to lose to Tennessee every single year moving forward?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was hoping you'd just say, like, how did I feel when the announcement happened? And I'll tell you, I cried. I cried for the loss of Nick Saban, but I'm hopeful we'll come back very strong that third week of October. It's I Hate Orange Week in Alabama.
Dr. Laura Wilson, Professor of Political Science at the University of Indianapolis. Doctor, thank you.
Thank you so much.